All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon here in America, Tuesday evening in Ireland, Scotland, UK, and elsewhere. In the EU, I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. It is the, well, as you would say it over there, the 11th of the 6th, 2019. Over here, we would say June 11th, 2019. But I did put the email out there, the posting, so hopefully a lot more people will start coming in. I didn't mention to my guest he should have put out a little social media post there about he was going on. Maybe if he does get a chance here in the next few minutes, he can do that. But I want to welcome back Mike Traherne to the show. So welcome back, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me, man. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very good. Very good. It's
I'm getting messages right now for a link. So I don't know if you can text me a link.
A listening link or a chat?
Yeah, just our show.
Just a listening link. I can put that in Skype. Do you want that in Skype or do you want that in Facebook?
Either one. Doesn't matter. I can spread it from there.
I'll do both. How's that for you?
That's good.
Yes. Tell them this.
So yeah, while we're talking, I'll be able to send that off.
Tell them this is a listening link only. Just a listening link. The chat link is going to be different. So I'll put that in your Facebook here also. And then we can talk about Donald Trump and the American Congress and American government and Justin Trudeau and the Canadian Parliament. After
yes.
we do that.
That's a week of that's a week of talking on the radio all by itself, I think.
Right, right.
Yep. Well, then Nancy Pelosi too. We got to remember her. I have to always mention her because I just love her so much that, you know, I have to make sure that she gets her due.
Exactly.
So where are we going to start today? What's the deal with today? Hi, everybody across the world. And we get a lot of views from Ireland, it seems like. So hello, Ireland. Good to hear you.
Do you? On your pages?
Yeah. Yeah, seems like, yes.
Uh-huh.
So we, and you guys too, like on your, you know, this show here, Cancel the Cabal, and on the People's Internet, you know, obviously, there's lots of people from the world that do tune in, and they tune in quite late with us too, so that's pretty good.
Right, right.
But, yeah. And, of course, our friend Annie, are we on with Annie today as well?
No, we're not, but we can be. I can send her a message.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was talking to her the other night, and I haven't got a chance to get a hold of her, but I always have long conversations with her. So I like Annie. She's a good girl.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she is. So, yeah, maybe if you can just send her a link.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a link. I access her server when she lets me in.
Yes. Which, as usual, she lets you in.
Yeah, yeah. On Tuesdays and Saturdays, about the only day we get on Shake and Wake, so.
Exactly.
We were talking, what were we talking about before we went on air? We were talking about all types of things.
Oh, we were talking about sports. Actually, we were talking about the Golden State and the Raptors, our Canadian, you know, basketball team that's, you know, made its way to the finals. We're pretty excited. The country's going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the American people, you know, are hoping that the Golden State, they can keep their program going and try to get another championship. But, you know, our Raptors are diligently working at it and really putting them up to the test, let's just say.
Uh-huh.
You know, we think that we're going to get a win. It's good for Toronto. It's good for Canada. It's good for the NBA, as a matter of fact.
Sure. What is the actual, does somebody have a lead or are they tied or what? I don't even
follow. Toronto's leading 3-2. They were up 3-1 and, they lost last night in Toronto. So now they go back with, the Golden State and, they can either wrap it up there. Hopefully they do.
So it's four wins.
Four wins. 3-2 right now in favor of the Raptors.
Right. But they need four wins.
Toronto, yeah.
They need four?
They need four.
Okay.
So they need four, and so they have two games to do it, but, you know, we'd like to see them wrap it up, whether it's at home or away, no matter what. But, you know, we almost had it last night. We lost by 1 point.
Uh-huh.
So it was a really challenging game, but very exciting. Canada is just outrageously out of control that we have an NBA team in a final. For us, it's so exciting. You know, we got a great, great basketball team, and they've been here for quite a few years, and they've built their way, and now they're built themselves into championship caliber. So we're pretty excited. But we were talking about fixed sports is what we were talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we were.
I was pretty upset the other night, to tell you the truth. And the St. Louis Blues, you know, getting, you know, doing what they were doing. And I have a lot of Canadian friends that are part of the St. Louis Blues organization. A couple of the people in the organization were playing in our hockey leagues when I was playing in our hockey leagues down in Montreal. So, you know, you think we would have an attachment to that. And I think some Canadians do. But, you know, I've been a Bruins fan, as I mentioned, Steve, since 1970. Uh-huh. And you know, although people, you know, like have lots of things to say about them, they're a tough hockey team and they're fighting for a Stanley Cup. And I just feel that, you know, in this area of, as you said, you know, who do we think is going to win? Or when someone asks you who you're going to win, I think the way you put it was, I guess, whoever the New World Order wants to win.
Well, so, the controllers, the masters.
The controllers, yeah.
Whoever, I call it Caesar. Whoever Caesar wants to win is going to win.
That's true. Yes. Because, and it seemed like the other night that happened.
Because evidently, I mean, all of us that read, all of us that have a half a dozen brain cells that rub together know that Caesar invented the sporting industry for distracting the masses, and it still goes to this day.
Absolutely. He sure did with the Olympics and all of those things.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, the arena sports. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, did you know that back in those days that anybody who participated in the sport had to be a virgin?
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
Sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
yeah.
the act of sacrificing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they sacrificed people for every known reason to man, and they were all prepubescent virgins also. But it continued on into Caesar's time as the very same act.
Yes,
I've got a frog in my throat for some reason today. But
you sound a little bit radio today. It's like your new image.
Well, I haven't really. Didn't really use the voice a whole lot over the weekend, and I don't know. I went to a little retreat Saturday and Sunday and yesterday, and got back yesterday afternoon, and I don't know. I did a lot of long hours, and it was kind of like a little mini vacation, but did a lot of working and stuff, and a lot of playing, and just had fun. Yeah,
went. You bought a plane?
No. I wish I had a plane.
Oh, I was going to say, geez, where are we flying to?
Yeah, exactly.
You did a lot of playing, is what you said, I think.
Yes, playing.
So there you go. So, yeah, no, I was just talking earlier with you. Did you have a good weekend, by the way? Because I did send you a message, and you were just about an hour in, but you seemed to be having lots of fun. So
I did. I was driving.
I just figured I'd leave you alone.
I was driving, and I couldn't really respond to it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha. So you're having some fun.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about a few things there before we came on the air, because I guess for you listening, Steve and I talk a lot on the phone, and we have a lot of the same views, you know, we have little disagreements on certain views, but not enough to, you know, at least it's just a discussion. But
I guess I haven't found that talking point that we have a disagreement on yet.
Yeah, we don't disagree. We just, you know, other than the Trump deal, where I say, well, I look at the numbers being a business person and mm-hmm. running solid business, and at the end of the day, I look at the numbers
right.
And
are we
and
getting
the numbers are showing? So
are we getting real numbers though?
I don't think you're getting real numbers. you know, and anytime I can say this, anytime I had a family, a few of them were in the stock market pretty heavy. They worked for large international companies on foreign trade. One of them, a vice president of foreign trade. I was talking to her a few months ago about it. And I said, you know, it seems like every single time we get a real big influx in stock market that goes raising through the roof.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a collapse somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I did forget to mention, I got a hold of Annie, so we are on Shake and Wake right now. So thanks, Annie.
Oh, good. Hi, Annie.
Yep.
Good to see you, sweetheart. I'll phone you today after this show for sure. and I love you. So, but we were talking about collapses of economies. And during Trump's, not the administration, but when he was running for leadership, let's say for the Republicans.
The campaign.
And keep in mind, being a Democrat for how many years he supported the Democrats. So,
yes.
You know, we got to understand all that. And, you know, and him being a money guy, he talked a lot about currency change. And he did it in indirect ways and direct ways as well.
Uh-huh.
And in that whole deliberation, I really wanted him to get in because I think we needed America to get a slowdown. We've talked about this before, you know, because of all the attacks that the world always looks out about America.
Right.
So, you know, he talked about currency change. And so, of course, the market goes through the roof. He raises, gets the market going at record volume. And to me, I see a collapse coming for currency change so that the dollar that is consistent right now holds no values. So all these third party outreach people that have major control in the U.S., like, say, Saudi and owning 17% of America, that would change things really, really drastically, because if we had a currency change, then the dollar would be bankrupt. So then their investment would be bankrupt. So their ownership would be slight, if any at all, and then be able to have control on who invests in that currency.
Sure. Well, it's virtually bankrupt now. It's only worth 3% of what it was in 1913, the dollar.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Yeah, it's bad. But it's bad here too. I mean, Canada's like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
We're in the toilet. So we don't even know how much. I think soon Mexico's, I think the peso is going to be worth more than the Canadian dollar pretty quick if we don't watch it. So
very possible.
And that's pretty bad.
I remember back in, I think it was 1991 maybe. I went down to, across the border there at El Paso. Went down to Juarez, spent a couple hours there, and the exchange rate was like 4,000 to 1, 4,000 pesos to 1 American dollar. That was, you know, 28 years ago. Not sure what it is now, but it's far, far more, or it's a far, far less. That's for sure.
Absolutely. It is far less. Mexico is making a climb, but I'll tell you this, back in that same time, Canada's dollar was worth more than the American dollar.
Uh-huh.
5%. It was, we lost money going to the U.S. That drastically changed. And now, you know, we're about 38% difference lower than the American dollar. But that's usually good for our economy because of our trade.
I just got a number. 19.1 pesos to $1.
See, 19.1 pesos to $1.
Yeah.
That is so close to parity compared to then. It's unbelievable. So Mexico is doing something right.
Uh-huh. Well, no, it's not so much Mexico. It's the banking cartel that runs Mexico and America.
Correct.
And Canada and the world.
And the world. Yeah. All of us. Yeah. It's just like the name of your show. It's all about the cabal.
Cancel the cabal.
It is all about that. So we got to cancel those guys. We went on this time before too, and I just don't understand why people of that, you know, elite status would want to wreck the world so bad. Like, what are they so mad at?
The thrill.
You know, they've had wonderful success. They've got everything at their fingertips. And they continue to try to wreck this planet, like,
well,
literally.
You know, the mantra has been out there for a long, long time that it goes, power is intoxicating. I'm not saying it right, but do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Something about power is an attractive thing, or I'm having a brain fart. I can't think of what I'm wanting to say here right now.
You know, I'll tell you, it is that. It's all about that power, and it's something that's, you know, I don't know if it electrifies you or what kind of word you're looking for, but I'll tell you, it's a bad deal. And, you know, we realize that, you know, our planet can sustain only so many people, and we talked about the 2030 agenda, and it seems like those things are really coming to fruition now. We see it in a much larger way. You know, we're multiplying like crazy. The planet can't sustain it. It could sustain it if we would change our direction on how we do things. There's many, 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 many ways of sustaining this world without it using any product that we even use today. You know, and but you know, the big problem is how do they make money on it, and then how do they decrease populations around the world? I'll tell you, there's certain ways we can decrease populations around the world without just killing people. I mean, that doesn't sound like a very fun thing to do all the time, and it seems to become the standard norm of what's going on in Nigeria, and you know, always been Africa, what's going on, attacks on certain peoples, and there's always somebody under attack. It doesn't matter who it is. Now it seems to be, you know, I guess I can say it, white people. You know, like we had something to do with it.
Right.
Which none of us had anything to do with it. Apartheid had nothing to do with the black people. It had to do with its corrupt governments and their corrupt leaders.
Correct. So, the fact on Africa and the people are neglecting to realize is the people that the tribal leaders, the kings and the queens and whatever they were called, they freely sold people to the Europeans and to the Spanish freely. Yeah. They weren't pushed into it. They were enticed. No. They were enticed into it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's continued to go on. You know, I opened a show the other night, and I played Billy Joel's song, We Didn't Start the Fire. And you know, he goes through his list. I wish he would come back and finish that song and bring it up to date. And, you know, because what's going on in the world, I think he called it really clear, based on America for sure, that, you know, they didn't start these fires. And a lot of times when you talk to people in the Middle East, you know, it's always about America. America's doing this and America's doing that. And now it's Russia. Now Russia's doing this and Russia's doing that.
Well, no, it's not the people. Not at all. It's the
never.
It's the power structure itself. And,
that's right.
And you have too many what are called yes bosses that just doing what they're told. I'm just doing my job crowd. That's all it is.
Yeah, like I know our Canadian government is probably one of the most corrupt governments in the world. And people would say, oh, Canada's so nice. And, oh, we've been there hunting and fishing. And people are wonderful. Yeah, our people are wonderful. Very wonderful people here, I have to say. And same with America. Very good people in America. But we only hear about the destructive stuff. We don't hear about the common core citizen that lives in wherever, British Columbia or Washington or Oregon or, you know, the out of the city groups.
Yeah.
As you were saying on our last show about how they want to try to push us to the cities.
Yes.
And they build these infrastructures. And it's to create that disturbance is what that is. That's to create all the animosity. Again, with these fires that have been going on, Canada would have a big fire every, and we got a lot of trees, but we'd have a fire that was recognized by even the news, let's say once every, 10, 15, 20 years. Now we have filter companies making extra filters because the fires that are coming.
Right, right.
Well, how do they know that? Well, they know that because they're lighting the fires.
Because they're starting the fires.
They're the ones probably right behind it.
I would venture to say a vast majority of them, probably over 60, maybe even close to 70% of them are started by somebody.
I think we
spoke about it one time. I heard many, many years ago, I'd have to actually look it up after I mentioned this, but I heard many years ago that the firefighters on the West Coast and of America here made $120 per hour.
Yeah.
That was many, many, many years ago. You know, I don't know of anybody in today's age that might not create something that would benefit them.
Well,
in some way.
You know, I'd have to agree with that. I know that.
Look at the wars since 2001, September 11th. It's right. Just here in America, they've spent over $9 trillion on the war machine. Trillion, not billion, yeah. Not million.
But yeah, yeah, trillion.
Trillion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know here just up assisting with just the fluids for the fires. You know, we're doing pretty darn good, I have to say. We're into maybe in the area of like, you know, $5,000 a day just to be here. So, and we're not doing very much, but we're here just in case. So yeah, it's a big deal, and we'll expect fires in BC coming up, and we'll expect Alberta to be back on fire. And now I hear there's fires in Saskatchewan, and there's now fires in Ontario too, all of a sudden. So now they're just reaching out and burning down the whole country, I guess.
Right.
To create jobs. I know a guy here that runs a cat, and they don't let him go out to make breaks. He's not even allowed to work. He's just here with the cat for I don't even know what reason.
Yeah.
Just to say they're here, I guess. One thing I do know, when we had our Fort McMurray fires, Russia offered our illustrious leader, Justin Trudeau, one of the largest water bombers in the world. Actually, I think it is the largest in the world. And he wanted to send it to help, you know, to help out. And of course, it was refused completely. There was no
right.
No conversation actually about it. Nope, we don't deal with Russia, so we don't want your bomber. He was just trying to be nice, I guess, and help out.
Yeah.
But one thing that did happen in the Fort McMurray fires and in oil country that happens in states like Texas and Louisiana and, you know, all of your oil sector. The city had at the time about 100,000 people in it, which isn't very many people, but that's in the north, that's a big city for us. And we had no police help for evacuating from the city on the highways. We had one accident that took an elderly couple in their motorhome who were trying to get out of the city with one other vehicle. But otherwise, everyone evacuated that area all by themselves, mm-hmm. without accidents, without deaths, without collision. Without anything. And it just goes to show how in certain places where we have oil, how we're trained for disaster, because that can always happen.
Yeah.
So I was very proud of, you know, our Alberta people and the people that work around the country to, you know, exit from Fort McMurray and not have a catastrophe as far as traffic. I mean, a lot of people got stuck on the highways once they left because the gas stations were all shut down. So people were just jumping in cars and heading towards Edmonton as quick as they could and running out of gas. And, you know, our gas companies were really good, and our oil companies, they were running, you know, trucks up and down Highway 63, filling people up and making sure they had gas to get down. And people were bringing food. And it's amazing how catastrophe brings people together. But, you know, I guess the moral of that story is just saying that we were so well trained that even though we were leaving in a panic, and not a panic because we're trained not to panic, and their houses were burning down and they were losing their life, basically, you know, nothing really seemed to unsettle them on just getting out of the city safely.
Yeah.
And in the videos we watched, I mean, the fires were torching, like, right beside the highways. I mean, the biggest fear were, you know, people getting flat tires from the heat, but none of that happened.
Yeah,
which was amazing, and nobody overrushed themselves or tried to push anybody. And I see with the floods in America, the same thing's happening, Steve. That mm-hmm. you know how everyone can't live together yet. When we have a major catastrophe, people just come together.
Yeah, and you know, talking about last year's fires, did you see some of the reports that actually detailed about the fires at all in California? Now, that would be homes totally destroyed by allegedly a fire, but the trees in their front yard were untouched. The grass was untouched. Houses next to them were untouched.
I think that was probably divine intervention.
Nah, I think there was a lot of speculation of directed energy weapons causing some of that damage out there, causing
the
fires.
I'm sure there was something.
Do you know what directed energies are? Have you ever looked into that? Or
I haven't looked into it too much, but I do know a little bit about it. And and yes, I think that was probably, you know, happening.
Well,
without a question,
scalar technology has been out there for a long time. Laser technology has been out there for a long time. I think you and I spoke about September 11th, 2001, you know, what made steel and concrete disappear in front of people's eyes in thin air.
Yeah.
just steel beams just disappeared. There's video of it. I can show it anywhere.
It just crumbled and disappeared to nothing.
Sure, yeah.
Concrete. If you look at the building and the mass that it had fallen onto, it wasn't any bigger than the actual area of the building itself.
A million tons of concrete and steel.
And it didn't spread out across the street or anything.
Right, both of those buildings. Well, there was I think a foot of dust on a big amount of the surrounding area. But how about the cars that were blocks and blocks and blocks away that were just set on fire and toasted?
Yeah, I know. And all the gold that went away. Don't forget all that gold. But anyway, that's another story. But
$640 million in gold in the bottom of building seven.
That was split up by a few people in America, I think.
The vast majority of people that don't know about Building 7, do you know about two interesting facts about Building 7 on September 11th, 2001?
What's the most important thing?
No, the two interesting facts about that were the $640 million of gold that's gone.
Yes.
And the one particular floor on that building was the, I think it's called forensic analyst, economic forensic analyst. All of the files, every single investigation that was about the Enron scandal in the mid to late 90s was being conducted and carried out in Building 7, and it was all destroyed. The entire investigation.
Years, it's not funny.
Years and years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Isn't that peculiar how all that came down?
Isn't that a coincidence?
It's pretty coincidental, yeah. I mean, we're going on conspiracy now, apparently. Uh-huh, but
But also, also on that same day, the very exact pinpointed with accuracy, the building, the part of the Pentagon that was destroyed by the airplane, in air quotations, was also the forensic offices that were investigating the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld said was missing from the Pentagon.
Yeah, completely coincidental, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, just coincidentally that was there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was talking to another journalist the other night, and we were talking about conspiracy. And, you know, it just goes beyond conspiracy when it all adds up. I mean, it just... Before, we didn't really look for the information, but as we look at a lot of things, it's clear what it is. Even though they are trying to be good actors, they should have actually maybe been actors in the White House. And I watch sometimes the guy from Boston. I don't know if you ever watch him on YouTube.
What guy is that?
He's just called the guy from Boston.
Oh,
and I know that. So anybody can look him up.
I know there's Richie from Boston. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good too, yeah. No, this is just the guy from Boston, and he's a little mouthy, and sometimes he gets a little bit vulgar in his language, maybe.
The guys out there from Boston can be.
Yeah, well, he's just the guy from Boston on YouTube, and he says, the other night, he says, you know what, he says, I got an email from a friend of mine, and it's about a 500-person company in America that's holding a strong hand, and he talked about how many criminal... charges all these top leaders were involved in, and impaired driving charges and household abuse and family abuse and all of these things. So I'm wondering who this company is, because he's going on about it, and I know it's coming. And at the end of it, after all this destruction, he says that the company is called the Democratic Party on the Hill. So I was very shocked to see how many people inside the White House actually have criminal records.
Yeah.
I was shocked at that. I thought, wow, these people run a country and they're criminals. I just don't understand how they sign an allegiance or swear an allegiance to the country.
They don't.
They don't. But, you know, and
I told criminals. You how they got around that, right? I told you how they get around that, right?
No.
No. Well, the actual oath that they are supposed to take is I'll just say Donald Trump. I, Donald J. Trump, do solemnly swear to faithfully protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States. And that's what he said. But what he actually should have said is, I solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. He omitted those two words, and that's how they get around it. Each and every president or puppet has said those same words. They've omitted "of America," and they are, that's how they get around not serving the people. They're serving the corporation of America. They are serving and protecting the Constitution of Washington, D.C., those 10 square miles of sovereign land that have nothing to do with America.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
like,
that's right.
Just like whatever your capital is up there, I'm ignorant of it at the moment. I did know it at one time, but I don't know now. They swear an oath too, and they swear an oath to your corporation of Canada. They don't swear an oath to the Canadian people.
No, they don't swear an oath to any of us. They don't. Yeah, we're just an incorporation, and we were talking about Doug Ford the other night in Canada the Myth, you know, that we're not even actually a country. Like, Canada's not even a country. So, and he's got a lot of information on it. And we were talking earlier about de facto governments, and then I thought, geez, yeah, well, okay, that's every government, not just our government. But yes, in fact, Canada is simply an incorporation, and it's not called Canada. It's just a numbered company. So it's, you know, we had a law coming out the door. I want to talk about our shiny Justin Trudeau for a minute. It looks like the Liberal government are trying to actually expunge him from the party and vote him out, because they feel that he's wrecked the party. And I guess that's a nice, polite way of saying he's wrecked the country, or he's tried to, and he's caused us a lot of grief. But so they're looking at, you know, the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, has been talking about it, and Global Television up here have been talking about, you know, that the federal government is talking about taking him out now. There's some concerns there because Jody, who was our minister that was asked to kind of cross the line and go against a company called ANC-Lavalin for corrupt doings in Canada and abroad. But I mean, it all came back to us in Canada, and he asked her to turn a blind eye to it and not go after the charges. And so, of course, the uprising came in Canada that was like, oh my God, like, this girl, Josie, stood her ground. And of course, after she was taken out of the Liberal Party, but still remains a seat in the House, decides to run herself now for leadership this year. And my biggest fear is that Canadians who aren't really politically involved generally would vote for this woman because she told the truth. Full well knowing, though, and not understanding that, remember, she's still a Liberal or a Democrat, whatever you want to call it, and is here on the destructive side of things. She's passed some pretty seriously bad bills in changing our laws for criminals in certain ways of, you know, harboring dead bodies and things of that nature. And I mean, it's just ridiculous, the lesser charges. And that has to do with a slight different new immigration coming in that holds a religion that wants to change laws. So we live in a country where you're not discriminated upon about your religion, same as America. You're not discriminated upon about that. As soon as you change a law, that's a whole different deal.
Yeah, you're not discriminated upon unless you're a Christian.
Well, Christians are definitely under attack. I mean, he's talking right now that if anybody's found preaching on a street in the Christian religion, that they'll go to jail. So he's actually trying to take Christianity right out of the country altogether, which is, wow, that's a pretty strong, bold move, especially when we're based on a Christian society.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The whole makeup of our country.
Yeah.
So, it's been very scary what the... but the cabal are involved in it. So,
You're getting a little choppy. Is your signal okay? Or
pardon me?
I say you're getting a little choppy. It says poor connection. Are you losing connection or anything? Or
I don't think so. I think I'm still with you. Am I with you? I might just hit one little spot there.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's good now. Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes we get a little problem here. They cut off our system because we're up here. But and they got to do some, you know, emergency stuff. So they kind of shut us off, but I'm not close enough to that yet. So I'm up here actually, Steve, working myself as well as I was talking to you. Like I'm actually physically, you know, in the truck working because they need so many people. But I get to go home though this weekend. And then I don't know if I'll be back up, but my company will be back up here helping out. But so yeah, but with Justin Trudeau, they you know, now they're talking about standing him down. So I'm very, very worried about Jody running. And of course, our female voters saying, well, she told the truth. We should go with her and not understanding politics, because in Canada, we don't talk about politics here. Like when you're sitting in a bar or sitting somewhere for dinner, the two things we don't talk about in our country are politics and religion. So when we have a problem going on with a religious group and trying to change and do things in our country, it's really hard to get the attention of Canadians because we don't talk about that. So when you say, wow, we got this religious group that's really trying to change laws in Canada, it's like, no, no politics or religion at the table. So that's how it is up here. We're a little bit lame when it comes to that. And then we have a few people, though, that are very informed. And, of course, we're trying to spread the word and get the message out that it's really time to pay attention. And I believe that the sleeping giant is still there because in all the latest elections provincially up here, everyone seems to have turned conservative, where a lot of provinces were before liberal. So I'm thinking that we're getting it. I just hope they don't get fooled by someone who was a minister that told the truth and now has our prime minister, you know, up against, you know, treasonous ways and law-breaking ways. So not quite like a Donald Trump impeachment, but an impeachment, let's say. We don't have that up here, but it's called different things. But I hope that he gets kicked out of his government. I hope that somebody stringent tries to get in there. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're 4 months away from election. But, you know, our conservative government, they're now calling libcons anyway, which you know, they're kind of conservatives in liberal clothing, or liberals in conservative clothing, I would say.
Right.
But so we do have a couple of independents that are running, and they're gaining ground. And we've always had majority governments in Canada, and it's time now not to have majority governments, so that one-person party can't change the world around us in Canada. And lots of people are noticing that. And I think that a lot of the Americans, too, are realizing. The ones that stayed out of the political realm and wondering what's going on, a lot of Americans are really getting involved now. And that's very good to see, because we need our two pieces of land here to be helping each other. That's for sure. And our government's made a very, very strong address to the U.S. that now we don't get along with your government because of Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump.
Right, right.
So that's a divide that we don't need. You know, I don't want to see that. And I don't think Americans want to have anything against Canada, for God's sakes. Most people don't even know what we do up here. We're probably the best neighbor anybody could have.
Uh-huh.
We have the longest unprotected border in the world. And, you know, you have something like, I don't know, a couple of people a year that try to walk over, and sometimes they accidentally walk over because it's that wide open. Like there's not even a fence. You just walk right into the next guy's property kind of thing.
Yeah.
So having this dilemma that's coming on in Canada and the threat to the U.S., we've now been put on, you know, we're on a watch with America because
Canadians
of our
open
border. Pardon?
Canadians are?
Yes. Canada's been put on a watch by America because this open border and how loosely our government's working on here and bringing in ISIS fighters. And they're bringing in fighters that killed our media and killed our army. And I mean, this guy's just a real idiot. Like, I get in trouble for saying that stuff, but I mean, this guy definitely has to go. Like,
do Canadians actually know that that the Israelis and the Israeli Mossad created ISIS?
Yes.
Well, obviously, a lot of people don't know, because a lot of Americans don't know. They just don't get that information.
You know, we get to talk on that all the time, and it really came to fruition during Obama's administration when all that happened. So that was all clear with Hillary and, you know, leaving all your arms and, you know, instead of bringing back your military equipment, they left them there, left all that technology there for them. You know, it was a definite downslang. And I have to say, in the first, when Obama won, I was pretty excited. He seemed nice. He was very charismatic.
He was for hope and change, wasn't he?
he what?
He was for hope and change, wasn't he?
Well, he was, and he was the first Afro-American president, and that was huge. I mean, that was massive. That was about time.
Well, he said government was broken. He said he was going to fix it.
Yeah, he sure fixed it all right. He broke it right down.
But the American people also forgot that George Bush Jr. also said America was broken and he was going to fix it. And Bill Clinton before him said America was broke and he was going to fix it.
And Donald Trump said America's broke.
Yeah, and he was going to fix it. Yeah,
and he's going to fix it too. So, and he has done some things. I must say, he has. He has put some things to work. It's the first time we got Japanese cars being built in America. He's put sanctions, and I know people get upset with him putting these tariffs on people.
There's been Japanese cars built in America here for years.
They build Nissans in America.
I don't know about Nissans, but there are other Japanese car manufacturers. There's a plant in Ohio somewhere, because I've driven by it half a dozen times. I'll have to look at how many plants there are here in America. Yeah,
but they've been here out for me, because you know that was surprising to me that Nissan was going to be building cars. I believe in Flint. I'm not sure on that one. I don't mark my words by that one, but in car country, basically up in the north there, yeah. Michigan, New York, Ohio. Big automotive sector.
In the Motor City. And
putting all these buildings back together so they can build cars.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going lately. That seems to be pushed to the side quite a bit with the Democrats getting control of the House. And of course, our friend Nancy Pelosi. She should be on Saturday Night Live because she's such an idiot. But, I think that she's too old. I think that America needs to break down its laws that, you can only be in the White House for so long. And I mean, not just 8 years, but say make it, 15 years. After that, your time is done. Uh-huh. And you leave and new people, new ideas, and new connection bases come in around the world. Because,
I just come upon an article trying to find the year. Can't see that yet. But, 2016. 3 out of every 4 Japanese cars and trucks sold in America are built in North America. Let's see. I'm trying to get this. Trying to get what the names are, but go ahead and I'll look over it and try to highlight stuff. But go ahead.
Sure.
Marysville.
I forget where I was there actually.
Honda is in Marysville, Ohio.
Honda, that's China. Right? That's Chinese though, right?
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think Honda's Japanese. That's Chinese manufacturer. So Honda's been built there for years, but
no, I think that's Japanese also.
Is it?
I think so. I'll look that up too.
Yeah, look that one up too, because I think it's Chinese, but. We're not real big automotive guys, I guess.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of them in our countries. So, but we had a problem because, we're not selling our oil. And, of course, Japan had to go make a new oil deal.
Nope, it's Japanese.
It is Japanese Honda.
Yep.
Wow.
Honda Motor Company, LTD, is a Japanese public multinational conglomerate corporation.
Wow. Okay. Well, I thought they were always Chinese, but I guess I was completely wrong on that too. So
that's okay. You're forgiven.
Yeah, no, we all make mistakes, but sometimes we get into territories we don't know what we're talking about either, and we think, but we're not sure. But but we usually say we're not sure.
Right. Correct. I do want to make
not that kind of media.
I do want to make I couldn't find reliable information or what I thought was reliable information, but I thought many years ago they made $120 per hour, but I think it's $120,000 a year is what they make for the firefighters out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, that would sound about right. Anywhere from $120 to $150.
Yeah.
Something in that mark, but still works out to a fairly decent hourly wage, because in the U.S. and California especially, they're only allowed to be by the fires, I believe it's for something like 80 hours of shift.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to take them away for a certain amount of time. So I'm not sure if it's a 7-8 days or something to make sure that they're breathing okay. Kind of like underwater welders type thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Type of deal. But yeah, no, firefighters in California make very good money.
Did I actually tell you what the headline of this article was? It says Japanese big three automakers built more cars in the U.S. than Detroit 3 the last year. That was in 2015. Japanese built more cars in America, cars and trucks, than what the big three in Detroit did. Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's, you know, I mean, I blame that a little bit on the big three because they haven't come up with technology like those cars and,
right.
you know, the fuel mileage. And I know all the liberals want to have electric cars, but, you know, I think that's they're changing their ways on that now. But
yes, Honda has been in Marysville, Ohio since 1982. I knew I had drove by the Honda plant in Marysville, Ohio, a half a dozen times in the early 90s. So,
Wow, that's crazy. And like, you know, I'm up here, like I don't usually do the foreign cars. I'm a real a big three player, you know, Chevy and Ford and all those guys. I'd like to try to support our own team here a little bit. And,
sure.
And, you know, maybe we don't get the same fuel mileage that they do, but when they brought pickup trucks to North America, I mean, the Tundra does well.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other Tundra's really heavy on fuel, too. I'm very surprised at that. So, you know, I had one, and it just was terrible for fuel mileage, very bad, where, you know, Chevrolet's really come up to bat with that, and Ford. You know, Dodge will always be Dodge, and it'll always be the Mopar side of things with horsepower and the things that they do. And,
yep.
And, you know, they've always sort of contributed to that sector. And a lot of people love their vehicles. And I love American-made vehicles because I'm from North America.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I like to do stuff that we do.
I think, and I don't want to try to put words in your mouth or anything, but I do know that a lot of parts that go into the cars made here in America are made in China.
Yeah.
You know, that you might have been mistaken that.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, because I know that we make a lot of car parts. You know, it's kind of like Tommy Boy, for American people, for America, you know, that type of thing. But we do a lot of the lights and, you know, the lenses type of things for the back ends of cars and front ends of signal lights and all those things. And many other things down from, especially in Southern Ontario. I think we make a pretty big portion, too, of your Chevrolet vans up in Oshawa, which Trudeau's depleted that, too, somehow. He's just messed that one up, too. Actually, quite frankly, he hasn't made one deal for our country at all. And actually now China, who doesn't like him either. I mean, China likes everybody, but they don't like him. And they've stopped selling all of our grain, all of our coal, all of our anything to do with China. We're not selling anything. So in actual fact, now our country's actually selling nothing. That's really a good business move. I just wonder how that budget is going to balance itself, as he said many years ago.
Yeah.
The budget will balance itself. Okay. however that's going to happen. Maybe by a bankrupted dollar, that might balance itself. But at the end of the day, this fool has just come out and done so many terrible things. He was on a trip to India and he's dancing around like a, I don't even know what. And he's wearing the whole white tunic and the whole deal. Just a big embarrassment to our country. Just, you know, an embarrassment of a form of leadership. Like, usually you should have a bit of dignity and at least be a bit diplomatic, no matter what side you're on. But
yeah.
And then, of course, at the summits that they've been having lately, nobody even wants to talk to him. They turn their back on him.
Yeah. Toyota. So I just found out Toyota makes cars in Kentucky. They have plants in Kentucky.
Yeah, in Kentucky they do. Yeah, that's right. I remember from being down there a few times, actually. So, yeah, I guess we do build a lot of cars. You know, I think we should bring back some Russian cars.
I don't even have a clue any brands or makes of Russia did. Do you know?
I don't know the brands or makes. They made the Lada, which was just a big mistake. But
did they?
Yeah, they made the Lada. But they, when you look them up, they've got some pretty nice looking cars over there. Like, you know, they obviously can take the cold.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
I see Nissan has a plant in Tennessee, or plants.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, there you go. So is that since Trump, though, or they've been around there for years? Because Trump, I remember
no,
saying
they've been around for years,
something with Japan and their cars.
They've been around for years. This is the article. I wanted to actually read something about that.
Okay.
It says, it goes, President Donald Trump made some confusing statements about America and Japanese cars. Last year, Trump argued that more American vehicles should be sold in Japan, where historically almost no American cars have been on the market. But he also seemed to misunderstand that Japanese automakers have been building vehicles in the U.S. for decades, employing thousands of Americans in the process. In fact, Toyota, Mazda, have announced that they will invest $1.6 billion and construct a new factory in Alabama with the goal of hiring 4,000 workers. We started to wonder if folks know just how many Japanese cars are actually made. So in the U.S., it's a lot. We added it up, and that's what I've been saying. It's Honda, Toyota, and Nissan, and I'm still scrolling through this article. It's pretty good. There's lots of makes that have different factories in different parts of each state, Ohio, Tennessee, and Kentucky. They have quite a few plants, not just one plant or whatever, but they have quite a few, it seems. Oh, and Indiana, Honda has a manufacturing plant in Greensburg, Indiana. So that's another state they build in.
Wow, that's a lot. You know, and you know what really kills me about Trump sometimes? You know, I like what he's doing as far as the financial and all that stuff. That's all good. But it seems like he says a lot of stuff that he doesn't even know.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I would think a president would come out and say at least something that he knows or find out before he's going to talk about it. You know?
It does, doesn't it?
It does. It just seems like, man, Donald, come on.
San Antonio has a Toyota plant for Tundras, the truck, a Toyota Tundra. Mississippi
has
them.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but, you know, yeah. San Antonio.
Mississippi has a plant.
Lots of work in the south.
Absolutely.
How are the floods making out down there?
Nissan, uh-huh. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of states and plants. Just a lot of vehicles, a lot of Japanese vehicles being made. Oh, geez, we're at the hour. You want to take a break quicker?
We're at the hour already?
Yes, we are.
Well, we go through long talks to you tonight, Steve. It feels like 10 minutes.
It does, doesn't it?
So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back.
Yes, absolutely, we will. I got to put something on here in about 5 minutes, everyone, so we'll be right back. Okay, and welcome back for the final hour of Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com and also Shaken Awake, thanks to Annie. Annie and a few others are in the chat, so welcome everyone, and hope you enjoyed the last, me and Mike just discussed it. He is driving somewhere. I don't know where he's driving to, but he's been driving and talking, and we do only need to do about 20 more minutes because he's going to have to stop at that time and do something different.
So, you know, we always love to come on the show. It doesn't matter. It's funny how our technology is so great. You know, we could be out working or driving our car or in a big truck or doing whatever.
Yeah.
We can still get on the air and do our radio show.
Absolutely.
It's pretty good.
That's interesting. Yeah. Interesting you should mention that. It's been about, probably 3 years ago now. I was on my way down to Kansas City one time to visit some people, and I had Skype on the iPhone 6, I think I had at the time. And I've got a friend that is in just outside Victoria, Australia. Daylesford, Australia is the actual name of the little town or village, whatever you want to call it. And her and I talked for, I don't know, like two and a half to three hours on Skype. I don't have an international cell phone calling plan or anything like that. I can call North America, probably America, Canada, and I think maybe parts of Mexico or whatever, but I certainly wouldn't be able to talk to somebody from Australia on my cell phone. But we were talking for 2.5 to 3 hours on Skype.
Yep. No, it's fantastic, and it's free. And
yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, we can talk on any messaging system now that's free. That's fantastic. And I don't know why everybody just doesn't talk through messaging anyway. What's the point of even having a phone service other than the internet side, right?
Well, my 78-year-old dad, stepdad, actually, he is just now starting to get into the 21st century as far as cell phones and all that. But he does not do texting, and he doesn't do emails. He said, call me, because I'm not going to text you or email you. He says,
"Yeah, I'm not going to type to you." Yeah, yeah. Well, there's been wars over typing. I mean, you know, texts have created wars, literally.
Sure.
Because people take things in the wrong context, you know.
Yeah.
But I've talked to lots of people that I said, "Well, it's me you're talking to. You know who I am. You know how I am. Why would I make something like that?"
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, and people say, "Are you mad at me?" No, I'm not mad at all. Don't understand where you'd even get that from, but it holds no, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put a word to it, but it just, there's no personality in texting.
I do try to ask people to text me first or send me a message on Facebook if they want to call, because I do have people that just call out of the blue, and I'll be driving or something, or I'll be doing something where I can't answer the phone, and I end up I end up ignoring the call. You know,
right. Just
text me like
I know I'm on the phone, and I have three phones in here, actually.
Yes, I know.
And I'm getting messages like crazy, but I'm good. I keep telling them, I'm on the radio, man. I'll call you back. But they all know that, too. They know I'm a big political voice in Canada. And they allow, you know, customers allow me my time. And that's very nice of them to do. Actually, a couple of them are listening in. So so that's good. So they know I'm on the radio. But, you know, I wanted to touch on a few things that we were just on before about Trump saying a lot of things that are incorrect.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when he said to his father was born in Germany, like, where the heck did that come from?
Right.
His father was born in Brooklyn or something. So, I don't know. Maybe he was thinking it was his grandfather or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I guess we can't always be correct. But, you know, having said that, you are the president of the United States. So you should at least say things that are correct. And if you don't know, you should say you don't know. It's okay to say you don't know. People understand that. And, you know, it shocks me that he wouldn't be actually advised on all that stuff. Like, the media is probably going to ask you this. You should know this, you know, and if you don't know, don't go there.
Yep.
Fair enough. You know, but don't just say something.
Yep.
That's what gets him in hot water.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get Nancy Pelosi in hot water. Of course, she's my favorite politician. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, so, exactly. I want to. Well, there's a couple things I actually want to get into. The entire Congress, the representative and the Senate, and of course the president passed it. I don't recall now which year it was, but they all took a vote. They passed a bill and passed a law that says that they are the only ones, them and their friends that they choose, are the only ones that can profit from insider information. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I didn't until recently, until Trudeau paid our news media $680 million to only bring news on certain things that he okayed.
Uh-huh. Oh, Bush spent like $8 billion for that. And I'm sure Obama spent more than that. I'm sure, and I'm sure Trump has spent more than that. Or no, I say Bush, Obama, and Trump, but I don't really mean them. I mean the government machine. That's what I mean.
Yeah, the machine itself. Yeah, yeah. Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
It's it's been with us forever, and it's been here since the whole thing started, and so it shouldn't be much of a surprise, but. We again go to this 2030 and
Agenda 2030. Yeah.
Yes, we move on to Agenda 2030, and that's a scary, scary thing. Barry Prince and I would say that they might not hit that mark, but there's certain things that are happening with the planet that will hit that mark and will take out many people. America's in serious threat. Which never hits the media, never ever hits the media. So for those listening, Dutch Sense is a good one to go to, because he monitors all volcanoes every day.
Uh-huh.
And the volcanic activity around the world is intense. They're going off in a consistent basis. There's one volcano that actually went directly through the Earth, like right directly through the planet.
Uh-huh.
That's happening. And we're getting 6.2s in the oceans pretty much daily now.
Yeah.
The place is rumbling.
I think the mega volcano underneath, what is it? The biggest national wildlife out there in Wyoming or Montana, whatever it is. It's like, I think, 40,000 years overdue from blowing up, last I heard.
And it is the definite largest volcano in the world, bar none.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underneath Yellowstone.
Yellowstone is a very dangerous one.
Well, there's also...
And it's rumbling. And it's rumbling big time.
There's also a very dangerous fault line that runs right down to Mississippi, too.
Absolutely. And it actually... quit concave. That's the problem with it. You know, look at the floods going on. Everything's going on, Steve. There's all of these things that people want to ignore. I mean, how many states right now are underwater and they've had now already 1,000 tornadoes? Like, like they usually have about 600, and that's normal. That'll touch down. But I mean,
we're
into really destructive ones.
That's that's for the entire season, though. You know, we're probably only a third end of the season, into the tornado season.
You guys aren't even in it yet.
And we've already had almost double,
Yeah, so,
my little town, my little area, my little river that runs from, I don't know, like maybe 150 to 200 miles up into Lake Michigan, it has been about at flood stage for almost a year now. It did overflow last year about this time. We got 8 inches of rain in a 24-hour period, and we had a 500-year flood.
Wow.
Yeah, since almost the first European people that started coming into this area was Fort St. Joseph was, I think, was built in 1609, and we had the biggest flood in this area's recorded history.
Wow. Well, Michigan's had a lot happen too, man. Michigan doesn't need very much more to happen. It's a scary situation over there. And we're hoping that, you know, things up here, when we look in, we get lots of news on America. And I think we get some news more than you do, like more than the U.S. know. And we're very nervous for America. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on. And if that one off Oregon's coast there goes, and that creates a shift, and, you know, all of our dikes go down.
You're talking about the fault line?
Yes. And our dikes crush. I mean, we're underwater that we were under 2,000 years ago.
Doesn't that major fault that goes all the way up into Canada, isn't that going to impact BC up there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It actually moves Vancouver Island. If that fault breaks, it actually moves Vancouver Island, which is 600 miles long and maybe, I don't know, not too wide, but it actually lands right on the mainland of British Columbia and Vancouver.
Yeah.
So that's a major catastrophe going on there.
I think probably, I would imagine a major earthquake on that fault line is probably going to affect 60 million people between America and Canada.
Those numbers are actually correct. They were saying that if it does go, and this was even on Fox News, they were saying that just in Oregon and California alone would reach about 16 million people.
Yeah.
So, like, take out 16 million people.
Yeah.
So that's major, major stuff. Like, you know, we got to really be paying attention. I have friends in Oregon. I'm going, move out of there, bud. Go on a holiday. Get out of there this summer, because I feel Barry and I have done a lot of shows on it, Steve, as you know. And when Etna went, which is now just going crazy off the coast of Italy and Greece, and it's literally going crazy. No mainstream media news on it at all.
Well, of course not.
Lava every volcano's going on like crazy over there.
Do you know why that is?
And crumbling.
Because that's carbon dioxide being spewed out by the volcano. That goes against their agenda.
Because the planet needs it. But anyway, otherwise it wouldn't be giving it to
exactly,
us.
Exactly.
You know, we do have to breathe, but, and then again, you know, when we look at all that action that's happening, you know, we're very fearful up here of not just British Columbia, but, you know, of our southern border. I mean, it's we're scared, and a lot of people are. And of course, we've been saying that that's going to happen for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So to get someone's attention on it, they want to see it.
Right, right.
And Oregon is coming, and it's coming this summer.
It's
going to happen.
It's really a shame you happen to mention that, because it does take a catastrophic event for somebody to come to a realization.
Yes, it does. And unfortunately, there's devastation involved with that, and it gets awfully scary. And I just wish people would just, you know, at one point, at least for an hour in their day, take their life out of their business and their life and find out what's actually going on. When it hits news media and people say, that won't happen. Okay, well, Barry and I were talking about it for weeks because we were really concerned about Italy. And I think that the last time people in the chat session were saying, guys, come on, man. You know, you seem to be really on it lately. And 17 minutes into the show, Edna went. And Barry at the end of the show was saying, it's going to happen within the 24 hours. Now, we didn't know that 17 minutes into the show. But 10 minutes after the show, we realized that it had gone. And and that changed a lot of the afterward chat. That was like, what's going on? So I think we need to do a few shows on that, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, that would cancel the Cabal. That would just take care of them real good. And my movement with 86 countries of 5.2 billion people that were affected by a march that people say are going to overpower the world on a half a billion of certain people that want to take us all out. Uh-huh. And if we had a $5.2 billion people march, I think you'd see a lot of catastrophic things happen. I don't think that many people could stop that. No matter how many arms you had, it wouldn't matter.
I think if 10% of the people that vote every 2 years or in the midterms and every 4 years for the primaries, I think if 10% of the people didn't vote, they would take notice.
Yes, yes.
And if the following election they had 20% that didn't vote, they would take even more note.
Well, I know that the Buffalo government, have you ever heard of the Buffalo, Political Buffalo? I had a page called Political Buffalo, and I was asked to actually quieten it down, so I did. I didn't realize. I got a call for these people.
No, I haven't. No.
It's British Columbia to Manitoba in Canada, and from Wisconsin across to Washington. Have even now built up funding to separate from the U.S. and Canada and become its own democracy. And they even have a military and everything. Like, I learned a lot about this when the guy asked me. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And he goes, no. And that's kind of what we're called. We're called the Political Buffalo, but which I didn't know. It was just merely coincidence. But the things that these guys have in place is just unbelievable. And they're very convinced that they would be able to make this happen. Now, in Alberta's case right now up here, a lot of people are talking separation, separating from the country. A lot of people, we've been shunned by our federal government completely. We're 33% of the country's income. We do money transfers to every province to keep things good. And our province has been completely shut down. And there's a big plea right now, you know, for Albertans, which is only about 3.8 million people, but to take our country and join the U.S.
Yeah.
So,
California wants to split up into two states.
Well, they do. And that's been a lot of talk for about the last 20 years, really.
Uh-huh.
And that could come to a fruition pretty quick here. I think that
and they're allowed
many things are happening, especially California.
And they're allowed to. And there's nothing nobody can do about it either.
And you know what? Alberta's one of the provinces in Canada that's allowed to as well.
Uh-huh.
Somehow they missed it. So we're allowed to. So, you know, if we exercise that right, and now the new leader, Jason Kenney, that has come from the federal government. I've always been very against Jason Kenney because I felt that he was not very truthful. But now that he seems to have the province and he's running it himself, I see a little bit of a change, and I know that's shocking for some Canadians to hear that are listening.
Yeah.
But I see that Jason maybe now that he's able to make the decisions, doesn't get shut down by his party after he's asked to say something. And if that's the case, I'll take back everything I said. Now, I'm going to wait a little while to make sure he's doing it. But he's doing a lot of things in Alberta. And I have to say, I thought he'd be the worst thing that Alberta's had, but showing how he's moved along just in the last month, I'm going to have to take some of that stuff back. And and I don't mind doing it because if he's doing the right thing for us, then that's great. And he was having meetings with the Senate in Ottawa in our Congress. And he was saying that, you know, just very much that if the federal government's going to shun the province that brings a third of the country's income, then, you know, he's going to have to move on what the people say and move to taking himself out of the country,
right,
which was very shocking to hear from him because wow, I was watching it and thinking, wow, Jason, what yeah. about the change? That losing all that weight must have done something to your brain or something, because the guy lost a lot of weight and he's looking good and he's feeling great and he's saying things that Albertans want to hear. So I hope he keeps up the good job that he's doing. I hope that now he's a leader of something, that he's able to make those decisions, and that's great.
Uh-huh.
And if he continues going away, he's got my support. So
yeah.
Up until now, though, for the last, since 2008, he never has had my support at all, actually.
Yeah.
And but what he's doing is amazing, and I'm really shocked at his passion and that he's actually trying to make a change. The first time in Canada we've seen somebody who's actually trying to make a change somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And if he keeps going, well, you know what? I'm going to have to vote for him next time, because I didn't this time. But I will next time if sure. he continues to do that.
Sure.
Well, and he's maybe proving me wrong a little bit. So that's good. I'm uh-huh. happy he's proving me wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I always like that when that happens.
Are you about ready to end it here?
I'm ready about to end it, Steve. We're going to be coming up with a couple of more shows with us, I guess. We're going to be putting some more things together so that the people can hear a lot of what we talk about and all the different topics, and liking that the people can send in information so we can talk about topics that they may want to hear, and try to build this platform a little stronger and get a big more media attention. Looking very forward to that, as we've discussed that many times, including Annie as well, our good friend Annie from Shake and Wake. I love that name. It just love it. And because it's exactly what we need to do. You need to shake people and wake them up. And you know, her ex, her past, she's obviously a widow, but you know, her husband was a very boisterous guy, and he had a lot to say, and hopefully we can take that company forward as well, just because of that. And for Annie as well. And
absolutely.
I told her that we were all going to be going to Europe this summer, and that she's coming. So she's pretty excited. And I'm sure she's in the chat session going, yep, we're going to Europe. And Steve and I and Annie will be in Europe reporting live. And we'll be doing live shows as well through Facebook and Twitter, through Periscope.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go around and see what's going on.
Absolutely.
We're going to go ask some questions.
I think a couple of years ago, there was an app. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to have to find it. The guy that made this network what it is today found an app that can put somebody on the air on their mobile, on their smartphone, on their Android or iPhone. There is an app out there. I don't know what it is yet, but there is an app that can put somebody on the air, and they can do live remotes, you know?
Yep, we can do some live remotes, and I do know a little bit about that. I have heard about that, and we should start using that type of thing. And we'll also be going live, you know, on my Facebook page and my Twitter pages. So, you'll see our smiling faces, which, you know, behind the radio, some people don't ever get to see who we are.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll be there, and we'll be bringing our lovely friend Annie with us, because we want to make sure she has a lot of fun.
Annie just said, there goes a neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood. See why I love her?
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic. So, yeah, Steve, I definitely do have to go. But thanks for having me on, of course, as always. And it was great to have the conversation. But we will be doing a lot more of this for sure, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course.
And Barry will be back at the end of the summer, too, so we can't forget old Barry.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But
yes, he will.
Your summer ends sooner than my summer does, though. So.
Yeah, we don't have a long summer. Our summer gets warm at the start of end of June, and it starts to cool off at the end of August. So, you know,
yeah.
we have and then it gets cooler, and then it gets real cold, and then we right. really hope it goes away. And then as soon as it goes away and we get some heat, we forget all about it.
Uh-huh.
And then we try not to think about how soon it's going to come back.
Yeah. Did I tell you what happened to me? Did I tell you what happened to me up there in 2003?
No.
Oh, I got stuck in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. It was
the big moose.
Yeah, it was 35 below with 25 mile an hour winds. It was
It gets a little cool.
Frigid.
Yeah, yeah.
Little very, frigid, very cold.
Yeah. And did you get to see the big moose in Moose Jaw?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, they got a great, great big mass of moose there that they built.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's their ascot for the town. I guess. But it's a great big moose. And so now when I go by Saskatchewan next time, I'll take a picture of it for you. It's huge.
Okay,
it's probably
okay.
That's three stories tall or something stupid.
It's got to be on the internet, right?
Yeah, it's on the internet. Yeah, you'll see
it. Okay, all right.
All right. The moose and moose jar. I'm sure you'll get it.
Okay. I think Mike will be back on Sunday with me, right?
Absolutely. Yep. We'll be back on Sunday and doing our regular show for Barry and filling in for him. And I always want to say, like I always say, thank you, Steve, for having us. What you do for all of us is amazing. We really appreciate it, and we get a voice out there. And always want to send off my love to Annie. Annie, we love you, and things are about to happen. So just keep the faith, and we'll keep on going. And thanks for having me.
All right. Until next time, everyone.